so after the service. Each mom can have a little card on it from Paris Christian Center. It's got a pair of earrings on there. And so we hope that Mother's Day is being good to you. You know, one of the things that I'm always really sensitive to now that I get older and older is that Mother's Day sometimes for some folks is a difficult day. And if it's difficult for you today, I just want to tell you that God loves you and that rest in that. And God is going to take care of everything that is upsetting you, anything. And so I'm going to ask you to do what we do every single Sunday, which is stand to your feet. We do this every Sunday here at Paris Christian Center. I believe that church is not a spectator sport. It's something that you should get involved in. It's something that you should be active in. And so I have you stand every single Sunday because that's one of the things that God instructed me to have y'all do. And it's because in a week's time, there are so many things that can come at you mentally, spiritually, physically, to make you want to give up, to make you want to stress, to make you want to feel like it's never going to get any better. And I want to tell you right now that you're standing, and it's only by the absolute grace of God. It's only by the provision of God. And so God has you standing. If you're having a moment right now, I just want you to begin to lift those hands. I believe God is going to meet you exactly where you're at right now. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person, Lord, that's hearing my voice right now. God, whether they be on Facebook, Father God, whether they be here in this congregation right now, but God, I ask you to meet them exactly where they're at today. God, if that is in addiction, God, I ask that you would meet them in that place. Daddy God, if it's in a place where their body has an infirmity, God, I ask you to meet them there and heal that body. I speak to drug addiction in Logan County, and I tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. God, every single person, Lord, that is dealing drugs, God, that is selling drugs, Lord, that is making drugs, God, I ask you for an exposure today. God, I ask you for an exposure this week. Lord, I ask that you'd save them, but God, I ask that you would stop them exactly where they're at. Lord, I ask you to do that today, God. Lord, do it on Mother's Day. Amen. That's somebody's kid that's doing them drugs. God, I ask that you do it today. And Lord, I thank you, Father God, for everything that you're going to do in this service. Lord, I thank you that you're taking the burdens off of your children right now, Father God. And I praise you and I thank you and I tell you to have your way here, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I decided today was going to be a fabulous day to wear 4-inch heels. And I am just really taking a gamble. Because later on in the month, I'm going to be 37 years old. Now, that's not old, but let me tell you, the older you get, less gambling like that you want to do because you can really fall and hurt yourself. Now, I told everybody in church at the beginning of the year, because we had a rough year last year, everybody decided they wanted to fall in the church and hurt themselves. I told everybody this year, nobody in Paris Christian Center allowed to fall the whole year. It's just not allowed. So anyways, I'm going to try to practice what I preach, so I may not be up in your lap this fine Mother's Day morning, but I don't know. If I feel like you're going to fall asleep, I'll probably be right on your lap. So anyhow, I laughed today, and I haven't. There's certain things that you don't think about, and it's like all of a sudden you have a thought or a remembering, a memory come up in your mind, but I put this dress on, Kayla, and I'm sure you can relate because you've got three little boys. Like, how old are they? 3, 2, and 1. Wow. Let's give her a round of applause. You got a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old. Lord bless her. And they're all boys. So that tells me you have nothing that's not broke in your house. Right. I get it. So I put this dress on this morning, and I kind of laughed because it brought me back to when I went to church when I was little. And you know, the Word of God tells you to train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they won't depart from it. Now, I want to tell you something. What I'm beginning to see the longer I go in ministry is that, you know, when people, they raise these kids, the Word says when they get older, they won't depart from it. And it doesn't say they won't think that they're going to think about departing from it. Okay? The Word says that they won't. They may act like it. They may look like it by all intents and purposes, but if you have a grown child in this room or on Facebook, I want to just be an encouragement to you this morning, because I want to tell you that God, there's nothing that He won't do. There's no place that He won't go to swoop that grown kid of yours up and minister healing and hope to them. And so if you've got young kids in here today, I want to encourage you to do the right thing, which is bring your children to church. Because then and only then can you stand on a promise. And that promise is this right here. God's going to take them further than they ever thought that they could go. He's going to make them into something that you didn't even know that they could be. He's going to keep your children. How many of you know and you've learned in your kids' life that you can't protect them from everything? We want to. We try to. But you can't be everywhere with them 24 hours a day. About a year ago, I sent my oldest son, Carson Paul, and let him have a day with his grandparents, my mom and dad. And my dad called me, and he was so frazzled. And it's hard to get him frazzled. He's a hot-blooded Puerto Rican Italian man, and he's hard to get frazzled. But he called me, and he was very upset. And he said, "Kelly, I need you to come up over here right now and get your son." And I thought, that's a bad sign if they're sending him home, because I know that they love him dearly. And he said, "Your son decided." He then became my son, not his grandson, but your son decided that he was going to walk across the pond that was frozen. And I could hear in his voice, and I immediately became just as upset. Now, there is one thing that I know as a mom and as a parent. The one category in life that can make you go from level-headed to plum nuts in a split second is the subject of your children. Amen? I could be having a fine day, something go on with one of my kids, and I done went from sane to pure insane in just that quick a time. And I was so upset because I began to think what could have happened. I began to think what may happen in the future if I don't get a hold of him and put the fear of God in him for this time. And I began to think all those things. And as I drove over there, God began to speak to me, and he said, "Kelly, because you have a promise to stand on, I was there for Carson Paul when you couldn't be." I want to tell you that when you can't be there for your children, you can't go to all the places that they go. Look here, there are places that people go in their lives, and nobody can go to those specific places but them and God. And some of the demons from hell try to take people places they don't want to go. But let me tell you, there ain't a demon in hell that can't be taken out by God. Amen? And so I just meditated on that, and I said, "You know, God, I thank you for the protection of my children." Now, if you're not praying for their protection on a daily basis, I want to encourage you to pray. Because kids can get themselves up into all sorts of stuff. Amen. I was telling Dad this morning, I said, we were talking about girls, and I said, we were talking about some of the little girls in the church. And I said, "Well, that's going on because girls are just dramatic, and that's just how girls are." And I said, "That doesn't change, does it, Dad?" And he said, "No." I said, "Doesn't matter how old they get, it never changes, right?" And he goes, "No." So what I'm telling you is that it doesn't matter really today if you have children. It doesn't matter if they're grown children. There's something for you in this message. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4 through 19 today. And I am so glad. You know, there are things that people don't observe unless you're a pastor. And what I just heard was a really beautiful thing. Because I said, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and all you could hear was pages. And I want to tell you something. If you think that listening to me for 45 minutes on a Sunday morning is going to get you into heaven, I'm telling you, it's not. Okay? It's not enough. You got to get into your word, because when you get into the word, the word's going to get into you. When the word gets into you, you can stand on the word. When hard times come, and let me tell you, they'll come and they'll go, and they'll continue to do that all throughout your life, but you have to have something to stand on. It has to be the word. The word is the only thing that's not going to let you down. The word is the only thing that's not going to be a disappointment. The word is the only stable thing that you have. And that reason, you got to get into the word. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And it says here, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Verse 5, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength." And I want to tell you this morning that God wants it all. God wants it all. So many people, they get all upset about the tithe, which is 10%. And it's so funny to me, because I think, you know, you're hung up over 10%, but what God really wants is you. The whole part of you. He wants your thoughts. He wants your love. He wants your affection. He wants your obedience. Those are the things that God really, really wants, and he wants it all. Not just a part of you. Not just the smidge that you're willing to let go of and let him come up into. He wants it all. And so it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." I want to ask you this morning, what's on your heart? What's on your heart? And that's a relevant question, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's on your heart? There's too many Christians, and they're saying all the wrong things. They're speaking all the wrong things over their life. What's on your heart this morning? Are you believing that God's turning it around? Are you believing that God is so faithful? Are you believing that God is exactly who he said that he is? What are your heart saying to you today? And it says here, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." Verse 7, "Impress them on your children." Impress them on your children. Sometimes I sit back, Grace, and I think, what kind of an impression have I given my children? There are days where I feel like I fail miserably at that. There are days where I feel like tyranny, I did okay. And there are a few days where I feel like I did great. But I want to tell you today that you're making an impression. Either way, let it be a good one. It's your job to help and to do your part to mold your children. When I had kids, my dad told me something very important, and it was this right here, Kelly. You need to go to God, and you need to ask God what he's trying to make Carson, Paul, and Colton, because that's a very important thing. God, what are you trying to make? Lord, what is my part to get them to that point? What is God trying to do with your child? What is God trying to do with you? Amen. And so it says here, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." You know, I wholeheartedly believe that children are hearing too much. Children are hearing too much. I was around a person that's dear to my heart. And I love this kid, and I had to laugh because I thought, wow, this is society. And it was a five-year-old, and he was talking about his old girlfriend at school. And I think that's just cute. I'm sorry, if you're religious and you think I'm the devil for thinking that, then you're going to have to get over it, because I'm the one preaching today and you're not. And I just thought he was cute. And now, don't call me Pastor Real Deal for nothing. I'll probably offend you today if you give me half a chance. And I said, "Well, what happened to the old girlfriend?" And he goes, "Oh, she's my ex." And I was like, "What?" And I laughed so hard. But then I thought, oh, my word. You know, and then I asked my boys, "Do y'all have any exes?" "Oh, yeah." I was like, ooh. Had a little girl come over to my house and knock on the front door and said, "I want to see Carson." I said, "I don't think so." And then I opened the door back up and I said, "How old are you?" And she said, 10. And I shut the door. I said, "There is no way this girl's only 10. She looked like me. She was as big as me. And I was like, there's no way this chick's 10. And if she is, she darn sure ain't getting around my boy. I said, Carson, is she 10? He said, yeah, Mom, she's in my class. And I said, I don't want you to ever be around her again. And I said, little girls, that their mama lets them come to the front doors of the boys and knocks on the doors, So we ain't going there. That ain't happening. I made an impression on him, and the impression was this right here. I'm going to be filtering them girls. And I done started brainwashing them, too. I said, look, boys, you ain't never going to be with a girl mama don't like. Because if I don't like her, she's not a good girl. I got to like her, and I got to approve of her. Now, we laugh at this stuff, but let me tell you, some of these things turn around and bite you right in the rear later on in life. Amen? All right, that's why we're preaching about this. So it says here, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. See, God wants his will and his way to be all around you. He wants you to talk about it at home with your kids. He wants you to talk about it at home with your spouse. He wants you to talk about it and make an impression. Make an impression. And it says here, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build. See, what does that mean? That means God can do some things for you that you didn't have to work hard for. Amen? The blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and he addeth no sorrow. See, there's things that God wants to do for you, and he wants to make it easy on you. Sometimes we got to get up out of the way for God to do that thing in our life. God never designed your life to be so miserable you couldn't stand to take a breath. But yet so many times we're absolutely miserable. See, God wants you to have a good life. He wants you to have a wholesome life, and he wants you to have joy in your heart. There's nothing that makes you more sorrowful than when there's something wrong with your kid or there's something going on with your kid. Amen? I know as a grown child, my mom and dad have called me many times and they've said, Kelly, I'm just so worried about you. Let me tell you something. If you've got grown kids in here today, you got to keep giving them to God. You got to keep giving them to him, because look here, how many of you got grown kids up in here today? How many of you learn they don't listen to a darn thing? Both of my parents' hands are up, yes. I knew y'all would agree to that. You can't get worked up over people that won't listen. You need to go to God with them. Amen? Don't let it steal your peace. Don't let it steal your joy. And it says here, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Be careful that you do not forget God. There are lots of people, they have forgotten God in the everyday things that they do. And the word says, be careful not to forget God. Don't forget him when you're raising your children. Don't forget him when you're picking somebody to be with. Don't forget him when you're picking your job. Don't forget him when you're deciding whether to come or go. Don't forget him when you buy a house. See, don't forget God, because here's the deal. We're going to do this just for fun. How many of you have ever been bailed out of jail? I never have, but if I ever do, I expect to be bailed out. I mean, I'm just telling you, I don't want to miss a service. Y'all are like, what an awful person. She just asked us all to admit that in church. Look here, we're going to keep it real here today. Right? ain't nobody can bail you up out of your jail better than God. You best not be forgetting him. Because how many of you have ever got yourself up into something you didn't know how you got up into it, but you wanted out of it? That should be everybody here today. Some of you is just not voting. But here's the deal. When you get up into some of your self-made jails and your self-made prisons and you're trapped up in your mind and you're trapped up in your choices and you're boxed in here, the only thing that you can do at that point is get on your knees and you ask God to forgive you. Now, let me tell you something. Religious people would add a whole lot of more things to that. But what I'm telling you right now that's needed for people, if you've gotten to that place in your life where you're boxed in, all you got to do is the Word of God. And it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Only a religious idiot would tell you that you had to do something more than that. We have overcomplicated Christianity. We have made it so difficult that people feel like they cannot be a Christian. And so I've dummied it down for me and you and everybody. And I'm telling you, if you've gotten to a place in your life where you're not happy, go back to that place where you knew you was in the right. Amen? Go back to that place where you knew you were in a right standing with God. If you can't remember one, you need to be saved. Amen? Now, if that preaching's too real for you, it's only going to get worse. But we're going to preach it. All right, and for everybody that thought you were getting purely a Mother's Day sermon, I don't do those. I don't only do Easter sermons, and I don't only, because you know what? People expect that. You come up into here, I'm going to give you a few things to think about. And we'll get out of here at 12. For all the clock watchers, it's in the back. I used to watch that when I was a kid. People get real uncomfortable, and they start looking for the clock. They're like, okay, where did these weird people put the clock in this church? It's in the back. Just to let everybody know. And it says here, be careful you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Verse 13, fear the Lord your God and serve him only. Serve him only. Serve him only. See, anything that you put above God is an idol. Anything that you think about more than you think about God, that's become an idol for you. Anything that has more of your love and more of your affection and more of your attention than the living God, that's become an idol for you. Now, I'm not beating you up over the head with it. I'm pointing out that thing right there because people need to know that they have so many idols in their life and they don't understand how they got there. Well, it got there because you didn't put God first. I've been guilty of that many, many times. Lord, how in the world did I get here? Well, see, in this part, you started putting this other thing before me. That's how you got there. We got to know so we can get back on the right track. Amen? And so it says, fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. Look here. You ever looked at folks around you? Tierney, I know you do, sweetie, because you're such a quiet person, and quiet people are observers. I have a mother that is the quietest person I know. And people like that, those are the folks you got to be careful about because they will get you. One time my mother, she got mad at Brother Angelo, and she hid all of the toilet paper from him in the entire house. And he called her, and he said, sweetie, honey, I'm sorry for whatever I did. Will you please forgive me? And then will you please tell me where the toilet paper is? Look here. Sometimes life will find you with your pants down, and you're just sitting there going, how did in the world? What just happened to me? Well, let me tell you, you're serving some other gods. We need to look around and we need to look at people. I was at a beauty pageant yesterday and I was just looking at all this stuff and I was just thinking, oh my God, thank you God you didn't give me girls because I just don't think I could be cut out for that. But I was just looking at folks and I was just thinking, you know, God, what are the things? You know, sports, somebody told me I had invited them to Easter service, and they said, well, Pastor Kelly, I can't come because we've got sports, some type of a sports thing. And I was going, what? Excuse me? They have scheduled an event on the day that our Lord was risen? Are you kidding me? But see, there's so many things that can be a God in your life. And at the end of the day, if there's anything before him, there are things in your life that are going to go very wrong. And I'm going to give you the verse that's going to prove that to you. I'm going to tell you why things will go wrong if he's not first. So it says here, do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. Verse 15, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. You serve a jealous God. He doesn't want anybody in his place. He doesn't want anybody being in that place in your heart where only he should be. When you put other things in God's place, everything is going to get out of order and it's going to go wrong. And it says, he is a jealous God and his anger will burn against you and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Verse 18, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight. Now, I didn't say your best friend's sight. I didn't say your mama's sight. I didn't say your neighbor's sight. And I didn't say your boss's sight or anybody else's sight. There's going to be times in your life where the right thing is the hardest thing for you to do. You need to do it. There are times where you're going to walk alone in some of your decisions. Amen. That doesn't mean that they're wrong decisions. That means it may take a few people a little bit of time to catch up, but that's okay because you ain't going off of their opinion of you. You're going off of what God told you to do. Be careful to do what is right in the Lord's sight. We worry about so many things. Well, what will this person think of me? What will the town think of me? What will this think? What will this do? What will this? What will? And the last person on our list is, what does God think? And if you think that you've got to have some, I had an experience this week and it really made me laugh. I was at the National Day of Prayer on Thursday and I love doing things in the community. Love it. And we got all these people signed up to pray over different categories of things in the town. And at the last minute, a lot of those people called and they go, Pastor Kelly, I just realized I've got to pray in public. I'm too nervous to do that. And I thought, oh my gosh. So I talked them off the ledge. Then I had to talk myself off the ledge about a few things. Then I get in the car to go to this event, and I have the world's largest screw in my tire. Exactly. And all the lights in the dashboard lit up. And I just don't do them things. I don't like them lights. I don't like when things are wrong. And I don't like flat tires because I don't know the first thing to do except for to roll up in my brother-in-law Brian's shop and let it be his problem. So here I come with all my troubles at his shop. We get out of that. I go to the event. And we prayed like 15 different prayers, which I thought was a little redundant, but that's what the day was about, so there we are. And we get up there, and my eyes were shut, and my head was bowed for like 12 minutes, because that's how long somebody's prayer was. And I kept looking, and we were still going. And I thought I needed like a four to eight-year college education just to understand what he just prayed about. And I was like, what was that prayer about? I felt like I needed a dictionary or something. All the kids in here are like, what's a dictionary? It's the thing on your phone that you type in what the meaning of words are now. Anyways, you don't have to have a complicated prayer to God. You don't have to have a complicated discussion with God. See, the word says, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight. When was the last time you said, God, is what I'm doing right? You don't got to say, thou old wonderful Father in heaven, wilt this and thou shalt that and all that stuff. Just asking, God, is what I'm doing right? Do you accept this in my life? Have I gone astray? And ask God. I pray the same prayer over Colton every night. Lord, in Jesus' name, please help Colton have a good night's rest. God, give him peace in his heart so he can lay his head down and go to sleep. And you know why I pray that prayer? Because as an adult, I go to bed more times than not without any peace. I'm trying to make an impression on my kid that one of the things that you've got to have in your heart is peace. Why? Because the Word of God says, now let peace rule in your heart. Let it rule. So many Christians are so chaotic because they have no peace. I asked God once, a while back, I said, what is this? He said, it's peace. And you just haven't felt it in a really long time. You can have peace when everything is going wrong. And you need to. And if you're not, say, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I welcome that spirit of peace to come up into me right now. Lord, every doubting thought, every hurtful thought, every discouraging thought, God, I cast it out right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of peace, you're welcome here. And you keep praying that over your life. And so it says here, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you. And you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all of your enemies before you. How many of you got some enemies that you wish would be thrusted out of some places in your life? All the real people are raising their hands because we realize we all have some enemies. Some of you aren't voting and some of you think you don't have enemies. You're wrong. So it says here, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you. There's some things in life that will not go well with you until you've done what's right in God's sight. They can't go well with you because the right thing wasn't done. Once again, if you find yourself in a place in your life where you know that you're off, ask God to get you back on the right track and ask him to show you which mistake that was that led you there. There's no room for condemnation about your life. There's room for conviction, but condemnation won't do you no good. It does you no good to sit there and think, I'm the worst person ever. Nobody's ever going to accept me because I did this, this, and this. There's no room in your life for that kind of thinking. Let the Holy Spirit convict you and move on and go on and be happy and fulfilled and whole. Don't beat yourself up over things that you wish you could change. We all have those things. Every single person under the sound of my voice has fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Every single one of us is just a couple, two or three decisions away from just an excellent life or a really horrible life. Us parents, we need to focus in on our children. We need to be teaching our children how to make good decisions. Because children that don't know how to make good decisions grow up to be adults that don't know how to make good decisions. We need to pray for the big things in their life. Pray over your kids' calling. I can tell you one thing. I would not be who I am today. Would it not be for Sister Millie? Because in today's modern world, they would have put me on a bunch of medicine, and I'm not talking bad about medicine. I'm just telling you in my case, what would have happened? This woman has never, ever discouraged me from being me. I was loud, still am, unruly, all over the place to the point they called me the white tornado into everything and everybody's purses. She always just said, Kelly, just be the best that you can be. Be the best you that you can be. Kayla, as God is my witness, she never tried to squelch my personality. People would say, why can't you be like your sister? And every time they would say that, that would just prick my heart because look here, there ain't no way you can be anybody else. If you're looking and you're comparing yourself to somebody else, you're going to lose every time. You can't be anybody but you. But what you can be is the best you you can be. You cannot be somebody else. Mama would get me in the car and she'd say, Kelly, just be you. I feel like God's saying that to some of you today. Be you. It's okay. It's all right to be you, but by golly, you best be being the best version of you because somebody needs you. Yes. Somebody needs the calling that's inside of you. Yes. So it's important, and it's important that we teach our kids these things. Let's go to the next place here, Isaiah chapter 49. We're going to look at verse 15. And it says here, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. And I want to tell you in here today, God has not forgotten you. There are times where we feel looked over, we feel forgotten, we feel passed by. But what I want to tell you is that God has not looked over you. God has not forgotten you. I like the first part of this verse. It says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast? Now, I'm not going to have a vote on this because it would be inappropriate, but there are some women that breastfeed and there are some women that don't. I personally did not. I don't think Melissa would mind me telling you she did. Now, Melissa was one of them moms, especially when she had Macy. Melissa, stand up so everybody knows who you are. It's my sister Melissa. And she's like, oh, you just told them personal things about me. Now you're standing me up. Okay. Sorry, I didn't think about that. Anyhow, everybody knows every detail of all of our lives, so here we are. But when Melissa had Macy, she was one of them moms that she was like, I can't have this type of dye. I can't have red dye. She went by the book on every detail about the pregnancy, every detail about the baby, and all of this stuff. The day that the book said that baby can't have a pacifier, that pacifier was gone. The day that the thing said no more this and no more that, it was gone. I remember we had a house on Bryan Street, and I had the whole family over, and here's little Macy, and she had her little blanket. Melissa was weaning her, which I think is just so awful. If you've ever watched that process, that is like the most gut-wrenching thing I think you can do to a kid. Because I would just give in. I'd be like, you can have everything you want. But here's Macy, and she had the prettiest, curliest hair. And Macy kept going to Melissa. She was ready to be nurtured by her mother and eat. Okay? Melissa was going, no. No, we're done. We're done. And I was going, this is awful. The kid was looking at me, and I was thinking, you know what? If I could do that for you, I would. Because there ain't nothing Aunt Kelly wouldn't do for you girls. Unfortunately, that ain't how this works. She kept telling that baby no. I'm going to tell you some things. There's some times in your life, you mamas, you're just going to have to say no. Daddy's in here, there's some times in your life where you're just going to have to say no. Somebody's got to raise a standard with the kids, because if not, they're going to be corrected by the government and in the prison, and you're not going to like it because you're going to be visiting them in the prison. And it's not going to be pleasant for nobody. And you're going to wish that you would have taught them right from wrong. And you're going to wish that you would have told them no. Amen? So, anyhow, it says this. It says, though she may forget, I will not forget you. So God's not forgetting you. Uh-oh. Well, my youngest has just re-entered the service. I remember when that used to happen to me all the time. And I spent most of my childhood on the stage steps. Dad would say, if you'll be good, I'll sing a special with you after the service. The reason I cannot sing to this day, okay, because I was never good, and I was always on this stage. I would fall asleep on the steps, and I never got to sing because I was never good. Casey can sing. She was pretty well good all the time. All of that singing talent went right to her. All of it. Every last drop. Somebody asked me the other day, can you sing? Absolutely not. The goal is to keep you all in the church. Let's go now to Isaiah chapter 66. We're going to look at verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And you know, one of the biggest jobs, I think, as a parent and as a mother is to be someone that comforts, is to be a comforter. And it says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. I don't know who this is for in here today, but I want to tell you that God is there to comfort you today. I want to tell you that I'm very sorry that you're going through some of the things that you're going through. God's going to get you through it. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you today. There's some places in your life God wants to go. You need to let Him go there. He would like to comfort you. One of the pivotal moments when I was a young adult, my mother drove a green RAV4, and she drove it for a really long time. And right around the time that the Walmart Supercenter in Clarksville was built is around the time frame that this happened. But I had had an awful breakup with this jerk. Crazy jerk, too, by the way. He was nuts. And I was just a mess. How many of you have ever had to help your kid because somebody done dumped them or something terrible happened or somebody done upset your kid and they are in an emotional trauma? Well, there I was. And I was crying. I think I was like 18 or 19. And my mom, she just took my hand in the car, and she said, Kelly, and this is something she used to do with me when I was little, because unless you were bleeding to death, she had no sympathy for you. Right, Mom? She would be like, are you bleeding? No, you're not. You're good. But me and Mom's thing, because I wasn't the most affectionate child, because I was a rambunctious kid, and I just was everywhere. So I didn't have time for affection. That's exactly how Carson is. If I get a hug out of that kid once a year, I'm good. But one of the things that I would do is when we drove in the car and I was in the front seat, I would put my hand over and I would hold her hand. And I want to tell you parents something. I want to tell you mamas, there are times in life where all you can do and all that you need to do is just hold their hand. Hold them in that moment. You don't got to have the answers for them. She held my hand. She looked at me and she said, Kelly, the worst part of this is over. And you're still breathing and you're still living, so you're okay. And she said, Kelly, you don't ever have to go through this again. Here's what I want to tell you. Make good decisions in your life. Stop cycling through and doing the same dumb thing that keeps getting you in the same dumb spot. Amen? God gets no enjoyment out of your suffering and your hurting. God says, I'm here to comfort you. So let them comfort you. Amen. Last place for me is John chapter 16, verse 21. And it says this right here. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And I want to tell you something. There are things in your life that are going to bring you great pain. I would be a really awful pastor if I just didn't have that reality and share it with you. There's things that has happened in your life that has been painful. There's probably things in the future, they'll be painful. And it's because the time for that thing has come. There's a time and there's a season for everything. You know, there are times where people make bad choices, and because of that bad choice, they're going to have a broken heart for a season because that choice led them there. There are times where other things happen and it leaves us in a great deal of pain. I'm somebody that likes to focus on more pleasant things, and so I'm going to read the second part of this verse again, and it says this right here. She forgets the pain and the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And I'm going to tell you some things. If you've had some experiences in your life and they're still causing you a lot of pain, what you need to do is you need to choose to forget. And you can do that. There's people and they say, I can forgive them, but I can't never forget. Look here. You need to get that out of your vocabulary because that doesn't make any sense if you're a Christian. Because the word says, forgive as I have forgiven you. Now, if you're gonna forgive somebody, but you ain't never going to forget it, you need to go back and you need to read your Bible. Because that's not true forgiveness. How did God forgive you? When God forgave you, how did He do it? Didn't He cast it in the sea of forgetfulness? There are things in your memory bank you need to choose to forget because they're going to always cause you pain. Every time you revisit those things, every time you revisit what was said, every time you do that, you're replaying and you're re-injuring yourself and you're re-hurting yourself. Every time you keep on playing that same event in your life and you play it over and over and you're broken just a little bit more each time that you replay it, God's saying choose to forget. Choose to forget that thing because it is holding you back. And that's exactly what the devil likes. He likes us to be held back by our memories, by our regrets, by our failures. God didn't make it and bring you this far for it to go wrong and for you to be stuck in your life. My best advice to you, my best word for you today is this right here. God has not forgotten you. God wants to comfort you as much as you'll let Him. How much will you let Him this morning? And choose to forget. There are situations, there are relationships, there are things that have gone on, and God is saying, you need to choose to forget that. How do I do that, Pastor Kelly? One of the biggest ways is you stop talking about it. There are people that I talk to. I'll say, I want you to just talk to me and minister to me. And they'll recall something that happened 20 years ago. They can vividly tell you. They can just tell you every single detail about that whole thing. They're still as messed up about it today as they were 20 years ago. And it's a heavy burden, and it holds them back in a place where they can't move forward in some ways. There's areas where you need to choose to forget. You need to choose to forget some things. It's not going to be easy. The first thing you can do is stop talking about it. The second thing you can do is when your mind wants to go to that thing and replay that thing again, you need to cast down all imaginations, make them line up to the word, take every thought captive and say, no, I'm just going to stop thinking about that event. I'm going to stop thinking about how that person hurt me. I'm going to stop thinking about what they said. Amen. Well, I love each and every one of you today. I want to thank every mom in the building for being so great. I don't see any moms that are just terrible moms. I see all great moms. And I think that y'all are wonderful. And I'm going to ask you now to stand. And a miracle has occurred. I am letting out 15 minutes early. I want you to all get out to get to the restaurants on time. Amen. Before all the other churches. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every single person, God, under the sound of my voice. Lord, let healing take place today. God, let restoration take place today. Lord, and I thank you for everything that you're going to do with each person, Lord, in today. And we thank you and we praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.